This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 15th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, the Environmental Almanac talks about wind power on the Illinois horizon. We'll also get a weekend weather forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser. First, a look at today's news. Illinois Governor Rob Blagojevich is defending a $1,500 check given to his daughter as a birthday present. The check is from the governor's former campaign treasurer, Mike Askaridis of Chicago, whose wife, according to the state directory, works for the Department of Natural Resources. The governor has drawn criticism from his Republican challenger, Judy Bar Topinka, for not talking about the $1,500 gift. During a campaign stop in southern Illinois yesterday, Governor Blagojevich called the check a non-story, saying Askaridis is a lifelong friend who's like a brother to him.
When I got married, he was in my wedding party. When my father passed away, he was a pallbearer at my father's funeral. When my mother passed away, he was a pallbearer in my mother's funeral. He's like a godparent. Like a godparent to my daughters, and there's just nothing to it. Now, I know Treasurer Topinka is trying to play partisan politics with this issue.
According to the State Board of Elections, Askaridis has donated a little more than $3,000 to political campaigns. Most of those contributions went to Chicago Alderman Richard Mell, who is Blagojevich's father-in-law. A Champaign teenager has been found not guilty of murder in connection with last year's beating and stabbing death of a Parkland College police officer. A jury deliberated over 6 hours before reaching its verdict in the case of 17-year-old Philip Harris. Two others have pleaded guilty in the death of Peter McLaughlin. His 21-year-old son Paul is serving a 45-year prison sentence on first-degree murder charges for fatally stabbing his father. 16-year-old C.J. Tucker pleaded guilty to lesser charges earlier this year. Harris was released from custody. The Democrat who's vying for Illinois' 19th District Congressional seat says he believes President George Bush should be impeached. Centralia City Councilman Danny Stover says it's a failing of the Republican Congress, including his opponent, incumbent John Shimkus, that investigations into the Bush administration haven't already taken place. Stover is calling on Congress to hold hearings to see if impeachment is warranted for what he says are illegal actions by the president.
Lying to the American people about the causes and conditions of the war, torture, secret prisons in Europe, and his cavalier abandonment of constitutional principles. I don't want to make this sound as if I'm running against George Bush, although in some ways I am running against his policies. I'm also concerned about those members of Congress that have turned a blind eye to the shortcomings and transgressions.
Stover is a retired Kaskaskia College professor. He also supports embryonic stem cell research. He's publicly challenging Shimkus to a debate, saying Shimkus has avoided several candidate forums, but the voters deserve to hear both views. A spokesperson for Shimkus's campaign didn't comment on the request. The state is now touting a new program designed to help middle-class families with rising college tuition costs. Kavitha Cardoza has more.
Unlike the MAP program that's designed for low-income families, the new MAP Plus program is for more middle-class students. About 70,000 students from colleges in Illinois are eligible for the grant. Don McNeil, chairman of the Illinois Student Assistance Commission, was asked whether $500 was a significant amount of money, considering the average tuition is more than 15 times that amount.
It can pay for textbooks, it can pay for meals for a couple of weeks, and every little bit helps.
MAP Plus will be evaluated, and depending on funds available, it may continue next year. McNeil is making stops at other campuses to promote this program. I'm Kavitha Cardoza.
A simulated family home is at the center of a new U of I facility dedicated to strengthening the family unit. The ribbon was cut on the Doris Kelly Christopher Hall, which social development professor Aaron Ibata says will be the home of research into family resiliency.
And when we talk about family resiliency, we mean the capacity for families to manage the different kinds of challenges and changes that go on in their lives. And so the ability to bounce back, to weather a storm, to do what they need to do to stay strong and stay intact.
The new facility includes a 1,000-square-foot simulated home environment, complete with family room and kitchen, where families can interact as researchers watch. The building was donated by Doris Christopher, who built a sales operation out of her home into the Pampered Chef kitchen tool firm. A Champaign elementary school teacher has received state honors. Booker T. Washington art instructor Shauna Carey was given Teacher of the Year awards yesterday. Lieutenant Governor Pat Quinn was on hand for a morning assembly with local officials, teachers, and students. The award is given out each year by Walmart and the Professional Education Association Phi Delta Kappa. Carey says the recognition was nice, but the $10,000 educational grant was the reason she pursued the honor.
For my school to get $10,000 is just an incredible thing for us. And that's, as Pat Quinn said, that's pretty much why I did it. I get lots of kudos from the community, from my students, from my parents, from my colleagues. I've taught for 30 years, and I don't personally need that so much anymore, but to get this sort of thing for my school is just incredible.
Carey says she wants to use the grant to make improvements to her classroom and purchase bilingual books for her school's library and set up an outdoor collaborative classroom in conjunction with the U of I. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. In the Environmental Almanac, we look at efforts by the University of Illinois to provide clean energy to campus. While the source will loom large on the very south end of the campus, Rob Cantor says it won't just be blowing hot air.
Wind has an immediate impact on us just about any time we step out of doors. In winter, a blast from the north adds insult to the injury of January's bitter cold. On a summer day, even a slight breeze provides a touch of relief from the heat. But wind has the potential to play a much more significant role in our lives in the near future as we harness its energy to produce electricity on a large scale. Capturing wind energy to generate electricity is not new. Americans first used wind to generate electric power more than 100 years ago, when a windmill with a 56-foot wide blade could produce about 12 kilowatts. The scale of wind energy projects today is entirely different. Most of the high-tech, utility-style wind turbines being manufactured now generate between 7 and 1,800 kilowatts, up to 150 times more than the electricity produced by the first wind turbines. Today's turbines are much larger than their predecessors, with blades more than 200 feet wide, and they convert wind to electricity much more efficiently. The U.S. Department of Energy rates the potential for wind energy in most of Illinois as fair, but there are also areas that fall into the good category. If the potential were fully developed, it is estimated that power generated from these areas could meet between 5% and 10% of current use. At present, there are 4 major wind energy projects operating in Illinois, and together they generate enough electricity to meet the demands of 25 to 30,000 households. A number of other proposed projects would quadruple that capacity. One of these projects is coming to the UIUC campus in the near future, thanks to the Clean Energy Technology Fee that students assess themselves, a grant from the Illinois Clean Energy Community Foundation, and capital support from the university. The plan is for the university to build and operate 3 1.5-megawatt turbines. These turbines will be more than 300 feet tall at the tip of an extended blade, and they'll occupy a site on the new South Farms. Together, they will provide just under 3% of the electricity used on campus. The U of I's wind turbines will also serve as a demonstration for landowners who might be interested in wind energy, and for teaching and research by U of I faculty and students. None of this is to say wind energy is without drawbacks. Today's turbines really loom over the landscape, and they're not the sort of thing many people want to look at in otherwise unspoiled natural settings. In addition, they affect wildlife to some degree, although careful siting and design can minimize their impact. On the whole, the trade-offs are compelling. Wind energy generates electricity without producing greenhouse gases or other air pollution, and it entails none of the immediate or long-term environmental problems associated with nuclear power. Credit for the information in today's spot goes to Matt Malton, Sustainability Coordinator at UIUC. You can learn more about efforts to make the U of I a testing ground for environmental sustainability at a talk tomorrow by Bill Sullivan, Director of the UIUC Environmental Council. He'll be speaking at noon at the University YMCA as part of the Friday Forum series, which is this fall devoted entirely to environmental issues.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the UIUC Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, you can follow the links on our website, will.uiuc.edu. Support for Environmental Almanac comes from the UIUC Department of Geography. Our forecast from meteorologist Ed Kieser calls for sunny skies. Once the fog moves out of the way, the highs ranging from 75 in northeast Indiana to 83 in southwest Illinois. Some areas could see some fog again overnight tonight. With a clear sky, by and large, temperatures will range from 52 in northeast Indiana to around 60 tonight in west central Illinois. And for tomorrow, warming up, mostly sunny all around the two states, and highs ranging between 80 and 85. Look for increasing clouds in Illinois on Sunday with scattered showers and thunderstorms arriving west to east, still partly to mostly sunny in Indiana, and temperatures on Sunday for highs in the 70s in northwest Indiana to the low to mid-80s elsewhere. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 15th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.